Okay, let's unpack this. We are looking at the plumbing of modern education today.
Right.
And I don't mean the curriculum or, you know, the politics. I mean the actual digital pipes that deliver learning to millions.
It's a massive infrastructure that most people, I think, take for granted until it breaks or until they realize just how much is actually flowing through it.
Exactly. And at the center of all this is Instructure. Now, we don't really need to explain what a learning management system is to this audience. If you've been near a university or a school, you know their flagship product, Canvas.
You've likely lived inside their ecosystem.
The stats we have in front of us are, honestly, they're staggering. They are the definition of a giant.
They
We're
truly are.
talking about the number one LMS in the world. What is it? Over 18.6 million unique annual visitors. Something like 8,000 plus customers in over 100 countries.
So it's not just software at that point, it's a utility. It's like the electric grid for education. But, and this is where the story gets a bit more complicated, having the grid is one thing. Having the electricity to actually power it is something else entirely.
That's the tension we found in the research, isn't it? You have this massive ecosystem, these reliable, sturdy pipes, but there's a crisis with what's actually flowing through them.
We call this the production bottleneck. Instructure has built this perfect delivery system, but the content itself, well, in a lot of cases, it's stuck in the dark ages.
Right.
We are talking about millions of static PDFs, text-heavy slides, documents that just sit there on a server, waiting.
And let's be honest, half the time students don't even click download. They skim the abstract and, you know, hope for the
Or
best.
they download it and it just dies in a downloads folder somewhere. That's the problem with content saturation. Just too much information, not enough time to process it all.
And that's where today's focus comes in. We're looking at a piece of technology called Auto Content API. And the claim here is, well, it's bold. They aren't just pitching themselves as a tool. They are calling themselves an industrial engine for content transformation.
And that phrasing, industrial engine, is so deliberate. The mission for this deep dive is to see if that claim actually holds water. We're asking, what happens when you plug an AI content factory into the world's biggest classroom?
Can you actually automate engagement without it feeling, robotic or soulless?
That's the question.
So let's start with the immediate context. You can't talk about AI and content right now without addressing the elephant in the room.
The audio revolution.
Or more specifically, the notebook LM gap.
Exactly.
Right. We need to break this down because I think everyone listening has probably seen the viral clips of Google's notebook LM. You upload a PDF, and two AI hosts who sound scarily human just start chatting about it.
It's basically what we're doing right now, but generated by code. It's impressive tech.
It is.
It proved a hypothesis that a lot of us in edtech have had for a while now. People prefer listening to a conversation over reading a dense report.
Oh, absolutely. Audio is the fastest growing segment because it unlocks dead time. Your commute, doing dishes, working out.
But the source material highlights a critical flaw in Notebook LM, especially for a giant enterprise like Instructure.
It's not the voice quality.
No, it's the workflow. It's a consumer toy. That might sound harsh, but from an enterprise view, it's true.
You have to manually upload files one by one.
There's no API. So if you're a university with, say, 50,000 courses, you can't hire an army of interns to drag and drop PDFs into a Google interface all day. It just doesn't scale.
And that is the specific strategic gap that Auto Content API is targeting. They are marketing themselves explicitly as the Notebook LM API alternative.
Correct. They're providing the back-end infrastructure to do all that audio generation programmatically. They're saying, we can do the banter, we can do the voices, but we can do it for 10,000 documents at once automatically.
So let's make this concrete. I want to visualize the workflow. I'm a professor at Big State University. I have a 50-page research paper on, I don't know, the nuance of monetary policy in the 1970s.
So incredibly dry stuff, the kind of thing that puts students to sleep before they even finish page one.
Exactly. So in the current model, I upload that PDF to Canvas. My students see the file size, they sigh, and maybe they skim the abstract. But if Canvas integrates Auto Content API, what happens then?
The moment that PDF hits the Canvas server, the API triggers. It reads the document, it analyzes the arguments, and it generates a two-host podcast script. Then it synthesizes the audio using what the docs call natural, steady, and believable voices.
Okay, I have to pause you there because believable is doing a lot of heavy lifting. We've all heard that robotic text-to-speech that sounds like a GPS having a bad day.
Oh, we are well past that. The source material really emphasizes that these voices mimic the flow of a radio show. They pause for effect. They use intonation.
They banter.
They banter. The whole goal is to make the content sound like a dialogue, not a recitation.
So that student who has a 45-minute bus ride to campus, they aren't just staring out the window. They're listening to a deep dive on monetary policy.
It makes the content bingeable. And that's the key. It transforms the format without changing the facts. And the API also has these deep research capabilities, so it's not just making the audio.
Oh, yeah.
It's also generating a briefing document, a study guide, all the structured notes to go along with it.
It's meeting the learner where they actually live, which is usually with headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another layer to this meeting them where they are idea that I found even more compelling. And that's the equity piece.
This is huge for Instructure. If you look at their corporate mission, they talk a lot about equitable access. They have this fascinating case study from Wyoming where they built a unified K-20 experience.
Kindergarten all the way to higher ed.
Yep. To ensure every student in the state had the same baseline opportunities.
But infrastructure is only half the battle for equity. The other half, and you could argue the harder half, is language.
The language penalty is real. If you're a non-native speaker, you are working twice as hard just to understand the same material. And historically, the solution was, what, hire a translator?
Which is slow, it's expensive, and frankly, it just rarely happens for day-to-day class materials.
Prohibitively expensive. You might translate the main syllabus, but you're not translating every lecture note, every handout. It's just not feasible.
So how does an automation engine change that calculation? Because, you know, translation software isn't exactly new.
Well, AutoContent supports over 50 languages, but it's not just text translation. Because it's an API, this happens instantly. A professor posts a lecture summary in English.
Okay.
Overnight, the system can transcribe it, translate it, and this is the kicker, resynthesize the audio into Spanish or French or Japanese or Hindi.
Wait, resynthesize? You mean it's not just subtitles on a screen?
No, it's a podcast in Spanish. It's the full audio content recreated in the target language.
That is a massive shift. You're essentially removing the language barrier as a friction point for learning.
You're multiplying the total addressable market of that one piece of content. Think globally. A safety compliance course made in London can be instantly deployed to a factory in Berlin or a branch in Tokyo.
And the employees are consuming it in their native tongue.
It's equitable access with the click of a button.
That's the audio side. But we have to talk about the visual side.
Okay.
Because if audio is for the commute, video is for, well, pretty much everything else.
The short form imperative.
Right. We're talking about the TikTok generation. And I know every time we bring this up, there's a bit of an eye roll from the traditionalists. You know, kids these days can't focus.
You can roll your eyes or you can look at the data. YouTube Shorts and TikTok are the primary search engines for a huge demographic. If you ignore that format, you are choosing to be invisible to your students.
But video is hard. It's expensive. You need a camera, lighting, editing software. I can't imagine a fifth grade teacher having the time to edit a vertical video for every single lesson.
Exactly. Manual production runs anywhere from, what, $50 to $300 for a single short video if you outsource it, and hours of work if you try to do it yourself.
So what's the auto content play here?
They have an endpoint. Video create shorts. It automates the whole production chain. You feed it the text a lesson plan, a summary of a historical event.
And it does what?
It scripts it, generates an AI avatar to present it, adds subtitles, pulls in background visuals, the whole package.
And the cost. Because schools are always, always broke.
About 400 credits, which works out to roughly €4.
€4 versus $300.
That is the math that changes behavior.
Yeah.
It allows a K-12 teacher to just click a button and generate a 60-second vertical faceless channel style video. No Adobe Premiere skills needed.
That faceless part is interesting. It removes the vanity hurdle.
And the anxiety hurdle. So many educators are brilliant, but camera shy. This lets the content speak for itself.
I could see the application for corporate training here, too. Onboarding, how to request time off, how to file an expense report.
Oh, absolutely. Explainer videos. Instructure has millions of users on Canvas. Every time they launch a new feature, people have questions. Instead of making them read a knowledge base article.
Which nobody does.
which nobody does. The API could just crawl the documentation and auto-generate a 60-second how-to video for every single feature.
It reduces support tickets.
Drastically. And in the SaaS world, friction is the enemy. Show me how to do it in 30 seconds, I'm happy. Make me read 3 pages of text, I'm frustrated.
I do want to push back on one thing, though. We're talking about generating all this content, quizzes, videos, summaries, but we've all seen AI hallucinate. We've seen LLMs make up court cases or historical dates. In education, if the AI makes up a fact, that's not a bug, that's a disaster.
It's a complete deal breaker. You cannot have an LMS that lies to students. And this brings us to the deep research component of the API. This is where we have to distinguish between a chatbot and an agent.
Okay, walk me through that distinction, because I think a lot of people use those terms interchangeably.
So a standard chatbot, like the free version of ChatGPT, is essentially predicting the next most likely word in a sentence. It's improvising, it wants to please you, so sometimes it just makes things up.
It smooth talks you.
Right. But the Deep Research API, which powers this whole system, uses agents. These are often built on models like Gemini or OpenAI, but they're instructed to perform multi-step reasoning. It doesn't just guess.
So what does it do?
It browses the live web, it reads reputable sources.
So it's checking its work.
It's showing its work. It provides citations and confidence scores. So if you use it to generate a quiz for the Mastery platform, that's Instructure's assessment tool, it's not just pulling questions out of thin air, it's analyzing your source text, generating the question, the correct answer, the distractors.
The wrong answers.
And citing where in the text that info comes from.
That sounds like a huge time saver for teachers. I mean, writing good distractors for a multiple choice quiz is actually really hard.
It's an art form. And having an automated teaching assistant that can do that, well, think about the burden it removes. Teachers are drowning in grading and lesson planning.
So if the industrial engine can handle creating the quiz, the timeline, the study guide.
That frees up the human to actually teach. It
moves the teacher from being a content dispenser to being a facilitator.
Precisely. It lets them focus on the human connection, which is the one thing the API cannot do.
Now, we focus a lot on schools, but I want to pivot to the boardroom. Instructure has a massive business and government sector, employee development, compliance.
And this sector has a very specific problem. The dynamic here is something we call the CEO paradox.
Okay, I love a good paradox. Lay it out for me.
It's simple. In any big organization, employees want to connect with leadership. They want to hear the vision directly from the CEO.
But the CEO has absolutely zero time to record content. They're not going to spend 4 hours in a recording booth doing multiple takes.
Never happens. They're running the company. So you get these ghostwritten emails from the office of the CEO, and nobody reads them because they know it's just corporate comms fluff.
So how does the API solve a time management problem?
Voice cloning.
Okay, this is the part that feels a little sci-fi.
It's already here. The CEO records their voice once, just a few minutes to get a good sample, a voice model. Then, Instructure's corporate platform can use the AutoContent API to generate daily or weekly updates using that cloned voice.
So the comms team writes the script, but the output is the CEO's actual voice telling the company about the Q3 goals.
Exactly. Market thoughts, company updates, morning briefings. It sounds personal, it sounds authentic enough for an internal update, and suddenly the CEO is in your ear every Monday morning, even though they never touched a microphone.
And I assume this applies to the dry stuff too, like compliance manuals.
Especially the dry stuff. Nobody's gonna read the 20-page PDF on data security protocols. But if you turn that into a private internal podcast, a 10-minute audio summary you can listen to on the drive to work.
And gating goes way up.
And risk goes down. It turns have to read into want to listen. It's that mental availability we talked about.
Let's look at the technical side before we close out. Instructure is a beast. They pride themselves on having more partners and integrations than any other edtech company. But integrations can be clunky.
Right.
Is this just another tab in the dashboard that loads slowly?
No, and this is key. AutoContent is API first. It's headless.
Headless. Okay, translate that for the non-developers listening.
Sure. It just means it doesn't have to be a website you visit. It's code that runs in the background. It integrates with tools people already use, like Make.com or Zapier. It just outputs structured data.
So it's invisible infrastructure.
Exactly. Instructure could build these features directly into the Canvas interface. The user, the teacher, the student, they wouldn't even know AutoContent exists. They would just see a Generate Podcast button inside Canvas.
Or a Make Video button inside the Mastery platform.
Right.
and the economics work. We talked about the video cost, but what about the audio?
Right.
If I'm a university with tight margins, I can't be spending thousands on AI credits.
It's built on a credit model. You pay for cents, not dollars. A podcast episode costs between, say, 10 and 200 credits, depending on the length. That's roughly 10 cents to 2 euros.
That is negligible.
Compared to $150 minimum for a human editor, it's a rounding error. And that low cost is what unlocks the long tail of content.
The long tail.
All the niche stuff.
Yeah.
You can't justify spending $500 to produce a podcast for a niche biology course with only 12 students. But you can absolutely justify spending 50 cents.
It democratizes high quality production. The niche topics get the same treatment as the blockbuster courses.
It means the deep dive treatment isn't just for popular topics anymore. It's for everything.
So let's try to summarize this synergy. We have Instructure. The ecosystem, they have the users, the data, the trust, they're the pipes.
And you have Auto Content API, the engine. It provides the production capacity to fill those pipes with high-quality, multimodal content at a scale that human teams just cannot match.
It feels like we are moving away from that old model of build it and they will come.
We're moving to mental availability. You have to be present in the learner's mind. You have to be available in audio, available in video, and available in text. All at the same time.
And doing it automatically.
That's the only way to survive at this scale.
It's a brave new world for education. But before we sign off, I want to leave our listener with a thought that came up during the research. We've talked about how this tech helps the current system. But if we look just a little bit further down the road,
it raises a pretty provocative question about the future of learning itself.
We are moving toward what some people are calling an agentic web, where AI agents read content to answer questions for us.
Right.
So if Auto Content can write the study guide and read the study guide to you and then generate the quiz for that study guide.
And assess the quiz.
Exactly. Are we heading toward a future where the textbook literally writes itself, reads itself to you, and then quizzes you on it all automatically?
Yeah, and if the content creates and assesses itself, what does that free up the human teacher to do? Or maybe the darker question is, what doesn't it free them up to do?
That is the question. Hopefully it frees them up to be mentors, not just content dispensers. But we'll see. That's all for this deep dive. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.